Hi, I'm Nicole, and I'm a fake fan.
Hi,
Hi,
Nicole.
Nicole.
Hi, I'm Calvin, and I am certainly a fake fan of Hollywood classics.
Hi,
Hi, Calvin.
Calvin. Hi, my name is Tristan. I'm a fake fan. The only movies that I've ever seen are those straight to VHS Disney spin-offs and sequels, Bambi 2, Little Mermaid 2, Cinderella 2, Lost in New York. That's me.
Hi,
Hi,
Tristan.
Tristan.
I'm on antihistamine and Sudafed, and they're fighting inside of my body right now.
Today, we watched Mary Poppins, 1964. Well, let's deal with the pain. Who here is a fake fan? Nicole, are you a fake fan?
Hell no.
I am a fake fan. Tristan, are you a fake fan?
I'm a half fake fan. I've seen bits and pieces of the movie over the years, but I've never sat down and watched it. So yeah, I guess I am a fake fan.
That's totally a fake fan because you can't have lived in America for like 24, 25 years of life and not have seen clips from this movie.
That's true. That's true.
Like, Calvin, you're probably in the same boat
But
then.
I did play it when I worked at Family Video, so unconsciously I've seen it. And I've seen a stage version, so. And I've seen Mary Poppins Returns, which is bad. It's the
I'm not gonna
same
talk
movie.
about that.
I'm definitely a fake fan. I haven't seen the full film. I have not seen it on stage. Aside from seeing a few different clips here and there, and obviously knowing a few of the songs, I haven't seen it. And I didn't know how the story really went. I did know a little bit about the story because I saw Saving Mr. Banks. I've seen it twice, actually. I saw it in theaters once, and then I saw it last Christmas with my family. That's like an extreme level of fake fannery right there.
I would also like to make a statement, just about like how these things can affect the loved ones around you. Calvin and I watched Prop Culture on Disney Plus. I definitely recommend the Mary Poppins episode. Me and Calvin watched it together. Calvin looks over, I'm bawling. It's a very emotional time. And then I find out Calvin has actually never seen Mary Poppins.
Ooh, you lied to your woman,
I will
dude.
say he never actually said anything about seeing it or not seeing it, but it
Your
just felt
silence speaks
weird.
volumes, Calvin.
I was never under the impression that I had said that I had seen it
I just said
to
that, you didn't
you,
say that.
and I thought actually that you knew that I hadn't seen it, but
I
you wanted to
didn't.
see pop culture because Aunt Julie suggested we saw it,
Yeah.
and I enjoyed the episode. I just I didn't know I hurt you, Nicole. My fake fannery hurt you.
Well, I think a lot of movies that I talk about or stuff like that too, it's a Disney too. You are very much a Disney virgin. You have not seen a lot of classic Disney movies, Calvin.
I'll use this chance to say again that because my parents are refugees, growing up, like we go to Blockbuster, we go to Family Video, and we pick up like, oh, this film has Bradgelina in it. Like that's what my parents were kind of looking for. Like, oh yeah, romantic comedy and action. We'll watch this. And I'm sitting there on the living room couch, like watching like an adult
Mr. and
drama
Mrs.
film.
Smith.
Yeah, Mr. and Mr. Smith is literally one of the movies that they did that. Like, I sat there and I watched Mr. and Mr. Smith. I watched this is that one movie that Johnny Depp and I think it's Angelina Jolie. Johnny Depp plays like Angelina Jolie's former lover, but he's had like reconstructive surgery to hide his identity because he's like Interpol most wanted, like
That
Art
sounds like a movie
Fraster.
your parents would watch. They're always into those crazy ass
Exactly.
action shit.
So where my fake fannery comes from is that they neither knew about these kind of films really and had little motivation to watch them because they were already adults. And for a
Okay.
film like Mary Poppins to impact you, on one level it may be that you have to be a child to see it at that time, you know?
Side note then, I think when we go to Texas for Christmas, they need to watch Mary Poppins.
Agreed.
Ooh,
Agreed.
good holiday movie.
It would, like, it's not Christmas, but it is like a good feel-good
Good, like, family
family.
movie. Yeah.
I mean, we watched Saving Mr. Banks on Christmas. So, like, we basically... So, I don't see why that wouldn't be a problem at all. Like, we could do that.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Saving Mr. Banks only.
But, yes. Anyway. Yes. So, back to Mary Poppins. Wow. I'm going to say it right now. I think that may be the greatest film in, like, film history. And I don't mean that to say, like, that's my favorite film. It's definitely up there, but I mean that to say, in terms of film history, in terms of the span of this medium, this was the greatest use of all components of the filmmaking kind of toolbox. I mean, it just everything. Color, lighting, editing, music, dancing, performances. It fulfills everything you would ever want going into a theater. You know, we talk about this all the time, going into a theater, watching a giant wall with light painted on it, and watching like some of the best dancing and most fun music, but also music that has a lot of subtext to it, great dialogue, great, just everything about it. I think this may be the greatest film in film history. I was amazed.
Damn, it's not Citizen Kane.
There's no big CGI fight. Where was Thanos at, Calvin?
Stop it.
To that point, I was like comparing it to other movies in my head. And similar to when we watched Sound of Music, thinking about other films, other musicals even, I was floored by some of the irony of some of the music, like the one where she's singing them to bed, the one where Bert is talking to Mr. Banks. That is so filled with like irony and subtext and layers to it that, again, like complaining about other musicals today and other movies today, like oftentimes they just don't have that level of depth. You know, I was floored. I was really floored by the level of artistic excellence and just wow. Just this has touched me. This is
another movie that this made me think of was E.T. And I know that's weird, but I feel like Mary Poppins and E.T. as characters serve the same purpose of coming in and helping to fix these families.
I like that.
And I mean, you know me. You know me and the whole family thing. It was very, a very good, wholesome movie. I felt myself smiling, especially in those last 30 minutes when Mr. Banks goes to the bank. And Mr. Banks goes to the bank? And but yeah, I just think it's a very, it does have that feeling that movies of this time have, where there's a lot of just happy, wholesome movies. And I think this is definitely one of the most happy, wholesome movies. I also compared this in my head when we started to Wizard of Oz as one of the like quintessential movies that are important for kids to see. Imagine seeing Wizard of Oz at the time, and there are these groundbreaking effects, and there's color on film. And if you see Mary Poppins as a child in the 60s, and seeing the fluid, like, when they go into the chalk painting, how fluid the animation blends with the live action, which is something that only Walt Disney could do at the time, you know? And it's just, I can't imagine seeing that as a child for the first time. Just this very colorful, innovative musical film.
I feel like the animation part too, he kind of did what every kid wishes they could do, to be in the animations that they've seen before. I disagree. It's just everything that you could want in a movie.
Yeah, well, it's the part that really struck me was Dick Van Dyke dancing with the penguins. And I'm not good at it, but I like try and do graphic work when I'm editing for like Lick Boy or I'm editing the Razzie stuff. And just seeing the penguins swerve between his legs, like go in front of him and behind him and stuff like that, I was like, dang, that must, just for an animation, for graphic work, that's just crazy and very impressive.
From what I remember of watching like archive footage of like how they drew in Disney and like the Disney studios, like it was all those multiple frames. Yeah. So to like line that up with film frames and like drawing frames, that just sounds nuts. Like I can't even like think about how that would begin to work.
The most stunning thing throughout the whole film was the blending of the artwork backgrounds and like the foreground and the live action stuff. And then on top of that, I keep seeing these like extra little bits that just like really add to the quality. So it's like when they're dancing on the chimney, they have this whole dance sequence, and then Dick Van Dyke is roped into the line dance. And then they have a cutaway shot to him getting swung over the edge of the building. Like, that's an extra shot they had to set up and rig up and everything. And that just shows their dedication to eking out every little bit that they can out of this film medium. That is just that's why I'm saying this is the greatest film of all time.
It's a kids movie, but like when you listen to the different songs or like the different monologues by Bert or the song Tuppence and stuff like that, it's just like it's like deeper than a kids movie, and like that's what makes it good.
I'm 24 years old and I still watch cartoons, like whatever. Everybody knows that my favorite shows like Avatar: The Last Airbender. My favorite movies are the Star Wars movies, because it's like, and I'm kind of embarrassed to say that, like, I remember a Nostalgia Critic video that I watched a long time ago talking about the best sequels, and it came down to, like, The Godfather Part 2 and then Empire Strikes Back. And he put Empire Strikes Back ahead of it because it's a movie that can appeal to kids and adults. And I think that's super important. That's why I love really good children's content so much, movies like this, where it's something that can resonate to somebody who's 5 years old or somebody like us. And I just think that storytelling like that can be just as impactful as something that's complex or deep.
You know, a lot of the films on our list and what we're kind of praising are inherently they're kid movies, but they also take things so seriously to be important for anyone. That says something to how you can make a film for a lot of audiences all at once, because you take so many people seriously at the same time. You know, you're willing to treat real emotions and real problems within families, perhaps, and make a film that can speak to that. And I'm stunned by this film. I gotta say it. I'm stunned again. I'm really stunned.
I love that you're stunned by this film, because I thought you would just kind of be like, oh, okay, that was, like, really cool how they did that or whatever. Like, just, I don't know. Like, I feel like that's sometimes how it just is, but that the fact that you, like, especially coming off film school, and, like, that's an interesting perspective, because it is, like, this movie is, like, okay, what can you do on a big-ass budget? Like, look at the craft and, like, the precision of all this crazy shit. Like, I feel like that's what you would want to strive for, is, like, these crazy big-budget things. Like, I agree, like, admire someone doing it, you know, independent, whatever, but, like, this is what you should strive for.
So this film comes out in 1964, and, you know, a few years later in the 70s, you get films like Taxi Driver and, you know, The Conversation, French Connection, all that kind of stuff.
Post-Vietnam War kind of movies.
Yeah, like darker independent films that come out outside of the studio system and whatnot. And those are great films, but I'm thinking about how in film school, we were shown a lot of films that were more like those dark and gritty films from the 70s that were like, wow, this is independent cinema. This is what they were able to do on shoestring budgets and tell, you know, an impactful story. And I absolutely love those films. I love Taxi Driver, and I appreciate the independent film era of the 70s and whatnot. But I'm thinking about why we wouldn't be shown, you know, pop culture films, perhaps, in film school. Like this film, Mary Poppins, if we did, we saw something from the 60s in my Mad Men class to talk about the 60s, but not to, like, investigate as a real part of, like, the cinema history that we should be proud of and investigate further. I really value the fact that they could really take a... there's, like, a moral to this story, just like as there was in Sound of Music. And the reason I bring that up is because, like, you know, I'm thinking like Lighthouse, where the artists are kind of like, I don't know if they're afraid to, or they just kind of refuse to really make a clear moral of the story. Like, this film has a clear point about fatherhood and making sure that you, you know, make time for your own family, and to make sure that what Dolly says, right? Dolly Parton says, don't get too busy making a living that you forget to make a life. It's got a clear motive. It's got a clear narrative purpose, and it's powerful because of that. It's able to clarify its whole purpose for telling you this story.
Yeah, but it's not complex, Calvin. This is a movie for children, and like, I want my movies, if there's a point to the movie, I want to think for like weeks about it until I finally figure it out, and I'm like, oh, brain blast.
Oh my god, brain blast. Okay, I just want to say, though, about that stuff, listen, okay, because, Calvin, you're very much in, like, you have like a connection to like the super artsy, like freaking, I mean, I hate to say it, The Lighthouse any more than I ever need to, but because it's the most disappointing film of my life to me. But I feel like sometimes that kind of movie is like so lazy to make it where it has such depth in the characters, and a straight to the point moral is so powerful still. And I feel like everyone's just trying to look for something new with these artsy bullshit or whatever, that I feel like they forget what a movie is supposed to be. It's supposed to be to tell a story and to make you feel something.
Yeah. You just brought me back to film school and people I fucking hated in film school that were like very smart and, oh, I love this movie because, again, I thought about it for 3 weeks until I had a brain blast. But it's like, that's why I feel like most people's favorite movies are movies that are detailed, are complex, but can also be entertaining. And I feel like Mary Poppins can be a good example of that. Like you said, the subtext, the details in the filmmaking. There's a very small, this is more like just a continuity thing that I noticed, that like, it doesn't seem like a big deal, but continuity can be a big deal. At the beginning, the Vote for Women song, she throws a sash on one of the maids and it's like the wrong way. So the Vote for Women is on her back. And then it stays like that through every other shot in that scene. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's incredible that they caught it once and they just kept going with it.
You look at some of the minute details they had in writing the music, even in the creation of Mr. Banks's look, the creation of all the details, the props and everything. This is no less a film than anything else, really, and to an extreme point. Like, this has thousands of people involved. Millions of people have watched it. And there's this one point in the film where they talk about just a spoonful of sugar makes medicine go down, how the original composition of it, they had the melody go down on the scale when she says down. But instead, to subvert that and to make it, you know, unexpected, just as Mary Poppins is, they make it where medicine go down, where, you know, they go up on the scale. Like, these little small little details that like liven the music and creates the greater world of the film. That's the level of creativity and artistic just expertise involved. Again, this is a medium where you shine it on a wall to see with a bunch of people at the same time. And just to think about the economic scale of a film, like, you have to hire tons of people. You have to hire at least 20 people to make a film, and everyone has to get paid, and you're spending a lot of money on resources and labor, to the point where, like, why wouldn't you want this piece of art to interact with lots and lots of people to make it economically feasible? But also, like, you've wasted everyone's time if you haven't really made it something that a lot of people will watch, you know, not even buy tickets, but if they watch it and enjoy it. So it requires that.
That's kind of what I mentioned last week with CoverGirl, how, like, I wanted things that were huge, like, big spectacle pieces, and I think Mary Poppins does fall up there. Mm-hmm. I can imagine seeing Mary Poppins on, like, that huge wide screen and seeing these big dance numbers on that. That's, like, if I am ever lucky enough to make feature films, I want to make something that feels like that 50s, 60s grand scope type of movie.
Mm-hmm.
Best film. Calling it right now. Best film.
Best film.
Best film.
Ever?
Ever.
Oh.
Ever. I mean, what other film uses its film toolbox, cinema toolbox? Doesn't mean gimmicks of like 3D or anything else. Like, it uses the rules, the medium's limits. It went to the medium's limits.
Of what they had?
Of what they could do. Yeah. And it came back with a incredible film. Do we have any tips for the other fellow fake fans out there, or anything we want to glean from this one?
If you watch this, I definitely recommend watching the prop culture, like, right after it. I think I'm going to do that later. It adds, like, more fullness to your heart when you see the people who worked on it, too, and how much it still means to them.
Like, you haven't seen the movie? Just sit down and watch the movie. Get Disney Plus. It's only like $6.99 a month. Not a sponsor, but damn, that would be awesome.
Steal it from your mom. I don't know. Find a way.
Find a VHS. Pirate it online. Just find it and watch it, dummy.
I mean, it's easier today than ever before to watch a film from the past. I mean, mm-hmm. Let's say it's the 80s. What are your options to go see a movie from the 60s, really? Today, it's easier than ever, and For films like this, that, again, Calvin Tran here, calling this Mary Poppins the greatest film of all time. you've got no excuse to find some time and watch the dang thing and, you know, stop being a fake fan of really great movies, really great pieces of pop culture that you need if you want to be, like, carry a conversation about these kind of things, you know?
Do it for real. Like, just don't fake fans of Mary Poppins. Don't do her like that. Like, yeah. For real. Mary Poppins, yeah, just don't do her like that.
Do it for yourself.
Wow.
Legit, though.
That's such an inspiring way to end our meeting. Wow, thanks for coming. Do it for yourself. Do it for the vine. Do it for whatever you like. But do it. Yeah. There's snacks in the bag. Thanks.
Bye.